Welcome to Fit to Be Tied with Gina and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. We are happy that you guys are listening to us today on this Sunday. And man, we're not even halfway through the semester, but I feel like we're killing it. Everybody's doing such a great job doing, you know, wearing face masks, washing hands, all those weird things that they're making us do nowadays. But it's for safety, so we're going to stay safe with it. I hope everyone is doing well. Again, I'm hosting the show by myself. This is week three now, I think, and I miss Sheena, but the good news is she has had her cute little baby boy, so she is being mama and being with her family, so it allows me the chance to ramble to you guys and you just listen to me talk about nonsense, which I know you guys love to do. I will have a co-host on starting next week, Charles Burrows, who's our fitness services coordinator, and you know what? That'll be our chance to talk about fitness and just, you know, what we love to do and love to talk about. And so I'm excited about the future kind of moving forward in this show. But a couple of updates, if you guys are listening, this was our first week to have our new registration process for group exercise. And you know what? It's gone pretty well. So if you have never taken a group exercise class with us, go to our website, check out the schedule, look at the video, the tutorial, so you can kind of see how to do it, but it's free. All the classes are free, and you can sign up 48 hours in advance, cancel up to 2 hours before the class starts, and even if you don't want to sign up online, guess what? You can be a standby, and you might just get a spot in the class. I can't promise anything, but it could happen. Lots of other great things happening at the rec center. We have our, some of our sports are starting back up. So if you're interested in playing, make sure you check out all of that stuff going on. And man, it's just been a good semester. I will tell you guys a funny story with these face mask things because I'm still trying to adjust to it when I teach yoga. And this week was my first week to teach in the studio. And I think I almost, number one, had a panic attack. And number two, I think I almost hyperventilated, and it was like a slow yoga class. So if you're nervous about the face mask, I mean, you should be, but guess what? We're gonna get through it together. And I have found that the most important thing about wearing your face mask is to make sure you wash it, because those things get gross when you're working out. So keep that in mind. Continue to wash your hands, wear your face mask. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and Sheena on 90.7 The Capstone, and we will come back with some awesome guests after the break.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And once again, I'm always grateful for our listeners because you guys listen to what we have to say. I feel like I have so much power. I can tell you anything because you're listening to me on the radio. Maybe not so much. But just a quick recap of what our show is about. We do talk about fitness, wellness, and nutrition. But honestly, we talk about just the holistic approach to wellness. We like to use our campus partners to provide those resources and info, but then there's times where we like to reach out a little bit further. And that's where I'm excited to introduce our guest today. So we've been talking about Recovery Month, and last week we had our friends at the CRC on. This week we have our friends at the Reprieve on, and I'm gonna get them on right now and introduce Ross Pape and Mike Denmark, the program coordinators at the Reprieve. The only program coordinators at the Reprieve. So Ross and Mike, thanks for coming on the show. How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
Good. Is this weird that, well, first of all, let me just clear this up for a second. Ross is my brother. And so it's kind of strange that we're sitting here on Zooming on the radio show as a guest, which I don't know why I haven't ever done this before, but I'm excited about it. But Ross and Mike, introduce yourselves, tell us your positions, talk about the Reprieve a little bit. I'll jump in if I need to, but I mean, you guys pretty much, you know the jam.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess I can go first. My name is Mike Denmark. I'm in recovery myself. I'm also an alcoholic. So that's kind of, I guess, why I fit so well with what I do. Purely based off of experience. But I've been in recovery for a pretty long while, it seems like now. But here at the Reprieve, I actually came through here. We're a long-term program, just kind of sum it up. But I came through here and graduated, I'm an alumni, and then came back to work a couple of years later. I would say probably the best thing that we do here is getting to work with guys just right off the rip, you know, and doing 12 steps with guys, helping them change their lives, helping them find the same power that I found to help me stay sober and to help me live my life. As far as kind of what we do here, I mean, I guess I would say our job title is our job title, but really just kind of overseeing, you know, the daily things that we do here to try and be successful and helping individuals and being a part of their lives, whether it's through their step work on an individual basis or even things to dealing with judges and lawyers and trying to help them, you know, deal with, you know, some external unmanageability that their addictions caused in their life and trying to, you know, give them a second chance on all aspects, you know, and just trying to help things run as smoothly as possible, I think would sum it up without getting into the, you know, the nitty details of, you know, the monotony that sometimes, you know, goes on a daily basis. But trying to see things from a broader perspective and be as involved individually with everyone as much as possible as well.
Right, right on. Ross, man?
And I'm Ross Pape. I'm Whitney's brother. I'm also in recovery. I have the same job title and do the same thing that Mike does. And I like to sometimes just boil it down. You know, we believe in the 12-step model. We don't think it's the only one that works. It's the only one that I have personal experience with. That's why it means a lot to me. But the way that it works out and what I basically get to do on a daily basis is try to help people get the things out of their lives and out of their minds to get a closer connection to God. And that's the thing that keeps me on the journey that I'm on. You know, I was in college back in 2009, 2007, I don't know, it's kind of hazy, but I was back in college and I was doing decently well at school, but I was also having a lot of fun at the time. And then a day came where having fun was more important than getting to where I needed to be in life. And I thought I had control of it, but I actually didn't. And then I started to not do as well in school. And that was my story, was, you know, the partying and the drinking and all the things that comes with that. It changed from me choosing to go do those things to doing those things whether I wanted to do it or not. It didn't matter what I had going on the next day. It didn't matter if I had a test the next day or whatever the case was. I found myself in a position where I couldn't choose against going out, basically. And it affected my life in a lot of negative ways. I finally went to my parents and said I wasn't pulling this off anymore. I needed some sort of help. We didn't really understand recovery or addiction. I was one of the first, or the first person in my family to come forward and say, look, I got a problem with this and I don't know what to do about it. And we started looking for how to fix it. And we didn't know what we were doing. I went to a doctor and, you know, he prescribed medicine and that didn't really help me at the time. And we had little understanding and information about what you actually do when you have a problem. And the way my journey ended up was through talking to more and more people, I finally ended up going and getting help from people who knew what they were doing. Everyone serves their purpose in recovery, whether it's a therapist or a doctor or people like us who just have the experience and can relate on that level. And that's when it opened up for me, was going through, you know, and seeing different doctors. I finally started meeting people where they had my experience and they were speaking from experience and not a textbook. And that was what really drew me into it, is I met people that did the things that I did, but were currently living successful, happy lives. And that's what I wanted. And so through that process and some moving around and finally, you know, working the 12 steps and getting my own connection with the God of my understanding, that's what really brought me to the life I have today. I do things on a daily basis to maintain that. It's not an in-game type of situation. It's a process situation, and I just enjoy the process. And I keep doing the things on a daily basis that I need to do in order to maintain that connection. And life is much better than it once was. In the meantime, I have gone back and graduated from school. It took me, you know, about 10 years to do it. But in May 2020, I graduated from a different university in the same state as this one. And
you can say it.
I did graduate from Auburn, and it was cool to get to finish the journey that I started there back in, you know, 2008, now in 2020. But yeah, it's a journey. It's not always fun. It doesn't always make sense, and it's not over. Mm-hmm. It is a thing that I do on a daily basis.
You know, I think it's so interesting, especially with this show and, you know, talking with our friends at the CRC and then just talking with students. Yeah, that's the whole reason why we do this radio show is we want to get information out to our students that may be, you know, walking in those same footsteps and they just don't really know what to do. It's like, maybe they know they have a problem, maybe they don't, I don't know. And it's everybody's journey to kind of see that. But, you know, I feel like, you know, your journey sounds similar to a lot of students that I've talked to, and knowing that it's okay to go back to school and finish, because we have this mindset of like, okay, I got to finish in 4 or 5 years. And even students now are just like, I got to like have this timeline. Well, yeah, that timeline may not happen, but it's the journey that you're on. And if you can go back at some point and do it, because I remember talking to Ben last week and we were talking about that. He finished his undergrad. Now he's going for his master's. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome. You know, you just never know like what kind of things life is going to throw you.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would agree with that. Absolutely. I think Ben's a great example of somebody that found recovery and found spirituality and now uses it as a benefit of his life to live up to the person he always wanted to live up to, you know, and not looking at it as a pause in life, but more of an experience of now I have these tools that can help me move forward, where once upon a time, I didn't have those, you know, and almost looking at it as kind of an extra education, if anything.
Shout out to Ben. I love Ben.
I do too.
I miss you, Ben.
Yeah, I'll probably listen. I'll share this with him for sure. You know, y'all mentioned a little bit about the 12 steps, and I do want to talk about some of the resources and things that you guys use and that would be available at the CRC. But we are going to take a quick break. So as Sheena would always say, grab something to drink, wash your hands, stay with us on the other side. You're listening to 90.7 The Capstone, Fit to Be Tied.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone on this Sunday afternoon. And we're talking recovery. And we've got our two guests on, Ross Pape and Mike Denmark, who have been enlightening us about sobriety, sober living. And we have more info. And I hope that you guys are just kind of mentally taking notes, maybe just kind of letting this, you know, kind of absorb, resonate. Just taking it all in, because we like to provide resources on our show for holistic well-being, and we just look forward to always bringing you good information. So we kind of left off, you guys, talking a little bit about y'all's job duties, your journey, and I want to start off by talking about the Reprieve specifically and what you guys do, and then also kind of what it looks like in general for a sober living community, and even what that term means.
So in 2020, the cool thing is addiction and alcoholism is not new anymore. It's been around forever and it's well understood and way more accepted than it once was. So there's literally a plethora of different options when it comes to like sober living and getting help. There's the small end of the spectrum where you can go to an IOP, which is a more medical thing, and you go to groups there for 3 hours a day and you live at your house. Then there's medical detox where you actually need medical help to get off of something that, or you know, just to make sure you're safe and that your body's healthy. Then there's sober living where you just go and you're living with other guys that have the same struggles as you, but you live a normal life. You just all spend time together in the evenings and live in the same place and there's some accountability. And then there's all the way to the other extremes where you live in an environment and you are a part of that environment for a long period of time because you tried all the other methods. They don't seem to work for you. You went to sober living, it didn't work out the way you thought, and now you're at a point where you really need some sort of help on another level. And that's what the Reprieve is. It's a long-term, year-long treatment program that's broken down in phases. First phase is 3 months, second phase is 3 months, and third phase is 6 months, where you get everything that you would get in any of those other, you know, earlier methods that you tried. we do a good job, you know, keeping you safe on the front end to get through the hard parts and the cravings and that sort of thing, and introducing the 12 steps to your life. And then in the second phase of the program, you're learning life skills, the stuff that you were probably taught growing up that you never actually listened to and you've never done. And we teach you how to do all those things. And then the final phase of the program, you're basically living in an apartment with other guys, but you know, you're working, going to school, getting back to normal life. It's the transitional period back to life. Because the whole idea is, if you can go to a place and do it one time the correct way, not cut any corners, then you'll change your life forever, and it's experience you don't have to have again. And we found that guys who do that for a year, the way that we do it, tend to have success doing it. Again, it can be done any way, and people do it all sorts of ways. Some people just go to AA meetings. That's it. But we found that that method seems to work really, really well here. And I'll let Mike talk more about exactly how it goes down with those groups.
Yeah, and I think, Whitney, you know, you talked about before the break, you know, of kind of especially when an individual is struggling with addiction and trying to find recovery, and they kind of get into recovery, and now they're starting to try to play catch up with their lives and trying to figure everything out now in a super, you know, high speed mode. And they kind of tend to forget the entire problem that got them into the situation in the first place. And that's what we're trying to help them with, you know. And the way that the reprieve is designed is, Give us 3 months of helping you identify the problem and actually working towards that in a safe space and alleviating the outside influence of everything that's going on that's adding to the issue of addiction as a whole. And then with the next 3 months of life skills is, let's start putting these into practical applications. Now let's start looking at what do I want to do with my life? You know, what's the purpose I want to find? Do I want to go back to school? Do I want to go to work? Am I already graduated? I want to get back in the same field. And starting to try and use these tools that we've learned in this first 90 days to actually start putting them into real life situations and actually starting to set for some long-term goals and some short-term goals, how to get there, you know. And then the last 6 months is very similar to a sober living, and kind of like Ross had talked about earlier, of living in an apartment in a community with guys, building up that fellowship, and actually now tackling these things that I want to be, you know. Recovery is not about going somewhere and being bored and learning how to, you know, try and not struggle with drug and alcohol anymore. Recovery is about finding freedom and finding passion and finding purpose and actually understanding what do I need? What's blocking me off? And letting us help you find that in your own life, you know. And that's the experiment, you know. That's the process of give us some time to work with you. You know, I felt like in my own life, I had tried basically every possible scenario and could not understand why, that despite all these moral belief systems I thought I had about myself and weren't enough to keep me sober. And it wasn't because I was a terrible person or that I had a bad belief system or I was a lazy person. It just seemed like these great things I wanted to do never seemed enough to keep drugs and alcohol out of my body, you know. And if we can fix the problem and learn to live in the solution, finding purpose and getting back to school or getting a career, I mean, that's what God has waiting for us on the other side, you know. That's what we do. You know, that's the entire purpose of our program, is to give us some time. Let's get away from all the chaos for a moment and hit reset and figure out how to do this thing the right way.
You know, listening to you guys talk about it, and honestly, I don't even need a host. I could just put you guys on and you guys take over for the radio show, because really it's, and if Sheena were here, she'd feel the same way. Like, we always learn from people when we listen to these recordings and when we have these recordings, because there's so much that, like, we don't even think about on the other side. And that's one thing that we talked about last week in our show with Ben, is like, there's this other mindset of people that don't know anything about recovery and they don't know how it works. And there's kind of like some stigmas and, you know, there's like a negative connotation, but the way, and obviously there are negatives that come along with it when you're in that path, the destructive path of it. But then when you start to realize that, like, you have purpose and there's a higher power greater than yourself, and you start to realize that your place is different in this world and you're not just floating around with no purpose, I think that's when it starts to change your perception, at least from what I've seen with people in recovery, from how I've talked to Ross about stuff. And, you know, I just, it's interesting when I listen to you guys, because I'm almost wondering, like, if I were just listening to the radio show and I heard you guys talking about it, like, what would be my first step? I mean, what could I do if I'm just thinking, you know what, this is actually kind of hitting close to home. I feel like I'm kind of losing control of things. I don't have a purpose. I'm kind of lost. I mean, what would be the first thing that you would recommend that somebody do?
So the way that most people get introduced to recovery, and the quickest way to do it, is going to some sort of meeting, whether it's an AA meeting, a Smart Recovery meeting, a Refuge Recovery meeting. These are things that are happening everywhere that you go. There's groups of people meeting, just like a small fellowship group, every week on the same night in the same place in some location. That's usually the first exposure people get. And you get online and you can literally look up AA.org, AA meetings in my area, recovery meetings in my area, whatever. And it's gonna give you a schedule of every meeting that happens of every kind in your area. Now, the hardest part of that is going to it. Because most people look at the piece of paper for a long time and they think about going, and they think because they Google searched it and printed it that they've actually done something to change their life, but it hasn't happened yet. People get stuck there. That's usually your first interaction. Now, if you go in there and you try to do what they're doing and it's not working out, and you finally have the realization, you know, maybe I need something more, then you start looking, you know, at detoxes and facilities and that sort of thing. Now, again, you can get sober anywhere along the spectrum of what's available to you, but you also have to be honest with yourself when something's not working. And if you just try to show up to meetings and that's not working, then you have to take more aggressive action against it. And all of those resources are available online at the CRC. I'm sure that there are people that they can get you in contact with. A good buddy of mine, Jared Murray, knows where treatment is and how to get people there. But you have to reach out. Like, no one's going to come knock on your door and be like, here's what you do next. You do have to start taking action to do something different.
And I think that is a good bit of advice, and we're going to take a break on that and talk more about meetings, 12-step program, and just kind of close it out on this next part of our show. So you guys, we'll be right back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tie with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. We are closing out Recovery Month, and we've had some really good people on our show. We still have good people on our show right now, and we are still talking about recovery and drugs and alcohol, and it's just what we do. We inform you guys. So we're talking a little bit about meetings with Ross and Mike, and just, you know, you can go online, you can search for meetings. They're everywhere. Pretty sure the CRC hosts meetings, and that's, you know, an on-campus resource that you can go to. But I'm curious, I've never been to a meeting, and I know a lot of people have not been to meetings, and I'd like to know what you can expect if you go into your first meeting. I've heard there's coffee.
Definitely coffee. You'll definitely find that. You know, Ross had talked about before we broke, you know, how to kind of find a meeting, how to ask for help. You know, especially the days of the internet, you know, it makes those things a lot easier, and the CRC and the Reprieve and kind of all the different avenues of approach that you can take. The biggest thing to kind of look out for, especially to expect in a meeting, is you're going to go in there and you're going to hear a lot of things that probably don't make sense to you, but you might hear something that actually means something to you. The best thing you can do in a meeting is walk up to the first guy you see that raises their hand and says they're willing to be a sponsor, and you approach that guy afterwards. It's that leap of faith is what I call it, that, you know what, maybe this isn't where I want to be. Maybe this isn't where I feel like I'm supposed to be, but for some reason, life has put me in a situation where I feel like I don't have any other options, and I'm here. Take that leap of faith, introduce yourself to that one person, and that's all you got to do. They'll take it from there, I promise you. And it's all you need is that one leap of faith. Hey, my name is Mike Denmark, and for some reason, I feel like I need to come talk to you. And that's it. And the rest of the program will reveal itself from there. But that's what we ask, you know, especially from a newcomer. You'll hear one thing that they say at the beginning of every meeting is the most important person in the meeting is the newcomer. And so veterans in the meetings and people in the meetings are very aware and are looking out for new faces to come in there and introduce themselves and say, man, I've been in your shoes and I know what it's like, and let me help you see the way out. And so, no, trying to figure out what to expect isn't all that important. I would say all you got to do is walk through the door and introduce yourself. That's it. Grab some coffee, sit down. You'll experience fear of feeling, you know, different or don't want to approach somebody. Take that leap of faith, introduce yourself, and I promise you the doors will open very widely from there.
You know, I'm just thinking about myself, and if I were, I mean, anytime I go into a new setting, this is just general fear and anxiety that I think most people feel, you know, like if you're going to go to a new setting, you've got to go walk in and you've never seen these people before. Everybody feels that way, you know? So it's kind of I'm sure there's a lot more that comes along with it because of what, you know, you're dealing with and trying to kind of come to terms with that. But, you know, it is a very normal human response for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially, you know, with luckily nowadays the stigma isn't as bad as it used to be around addiction, but you know, and you're dealing with shame, you know, internal shame and regret that's driving you, and you're at a place where, you know, an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting isn't as much as exciting as maybe a yoga class, you know. But during the meeting, they'll ask, if you're a newcomer, please raise your hand. All we ask you to do is raise your hand and somebody will approach you. You know, that one leap of faith, that's your first crossing of fear that you'll have to take by yourself. And we got it from there and we can help you. And that's all we ask, you know.
And nothing, the cool thing is nothing is expected of you. Like, people know you have no idea what's going on. They know who comes to the meeting. They know when you're a newcomer. It's not like you're going to go up to them and reveal to them that you're a newcomer if they didn't know it. So there's nothing expected of you to just show up and meet somebody. Recovery is very similar to like the gym, for instance. The first time you go in there, you're not in shape. You don't know how to use the equipment. You don't know what you're doing. And then you see all these people who are big and in shape and you're like, wow, I'm never going to be that, or I'm very intimidated by that. Yet when you start talking to someone, they're more than willing to say, oh, this machine does this, this machine does that. But it is what you said. It's a new environment, and it can be scary and intimidating to walk into this room, and especially when you don't know if you should be there. And the thing that they told me was, go in, sit down, listen, look for ways to relate, not the ways that you're different. Because my mind can talk me out of ever going again. That is my problem, is my thinking. Mm-hmm. And then like Mike said, that's the number one thing, is get with someone. They're not going to be surprised that you're a newcomer. You're not going to come in there and say something that they haven't heard before. They'll take it from there. But the only thing you have to do is the work to get there, and then put your hand down and introduce yourself. For some people, that doesn't sound very hard. And for other people, that's the hardest thing they'll ever do. But that's all it takes to begin the process of it. And then even when you do that, nothing is expected of you. Mm. People are there because it helps them to help others. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. You're not responsible for anything. And as weird as it may sound, when you finally walk into that room, you think you're doing it just for you and to help you, but you can't understand how much it helps the other person who you go introduce yourself to. That is how this thing works. It is a community of people. They used to say we were all the black sheep in our own family, and then we found the flock. That's what it is. And so when you go in there, just take the action to meet someone and actually go. That's the first thing you have to do.
So I kind of feel like, just to summarize that for our listeners, find a meeting online. If you feel like this is something you're going to know, like, okay, I think I'm going to go, and you find it, go to the meeting, walk in, sit down, listen. And then, as Mike said, when they asked, I mean, everybody's going to know you're new anyway. So you've already basically raised your hand when you walked in. So that part's already taken care of. So sounds like walk in, sit down, listen, those three things. And if you do those three things, you've kind of made your journey. You started your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, following simple instructions. That's it.
Yeah. Now, we got a few minutes before we close out. And I know there is no quick, touch on the 12 steps, but I know a lot of people really don't know what they are. And just kind of enlighten us a little bit about what the 12 steps are, you know, what they do for you, what they do for the community that you're in. Just enlighten us a little bit.
Yeah, I think Ross was going to touch on a lot of the 12 steps. I would say this, the 12 steps are based on three things: recovery, which is my step work, unity, finding a fellowship, a group of like-minded people that know what I'm going through and learned how to have fun in recovery, and service, being of service to our fellow man, our fellow woman, and actually living by a set of principles. In the back of the Alcoholics Anonymous book, there's a chapter called Working with Others, and it says we have two qualifications: one, that a man believe in a power greater than himself, and two, that he be willing to live by spiritual principles. That's what it's about, you know. The 12 steps for me, in a nutshell, is step one is the only step that talks about drugs and alcohol. I'm powerless over my addiction, and my life has become unmanageable as a result of that. If I'm walking into a meeting or if I'm making that phone call, it's probably because my life has become unmanageable. Steps 2 through 12 is all about finding a power greater than myself to help me with step one. That's it. It's a very simple process. And the greatest thing about the 12 steps, though, is somebody that's already had the experience and is currently still going through the journey is the person that's going to help you through your own journey. And so they know they're an alcoholic in their own right, and they know what you're going through. They know what you're struggling with, and they know the way out. And so that's the beauty of it, is the people that have found the answer that works for them are the ones that are teaching the next guy. There's a famous quote that says, the best teacher was always just the best student, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the cool part about it, is you're not hearing it from somebody. And that's how we are at the Reprieve. All the staff here are in recovery themselves. And so they know what it's like to take that first step. They know what it's like to walk into a meeting and feel like nobody knows what you're talking about or what you're going through. And that's kind of the beauty of that process, is can I get to a point where I can accept step one, that I'm powerless and my life's unmanageable, and can I find the open-mindedness and the willingness to be willing to take, like Ross said, simple suggestions, a simple process to better myself, period.
You know, I think y'all basically summed up Recovery Month for us, and I'm very grateful for y'all being on our show and just, you know, taking the time out of your day, you know, just to spread a little bit more knowledge to the UA community. But I mean, who knows, maybe we'll be famous with this podcast, Joe Rogan style, and you never know what may happen. But that's it in a nutshell. You just got to take that leap of faith. I keep thinking about what Mike said about take that leap of faith and just raise your hand, just go talk to somebody. And do you guys have any final words for our listeners and before we close out?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd like to thank you for having us on. It's been a treat. I guess I will continue to, you know, as a community, I think we're doing really well with helping reaching out to the fellow suffering addict and helping change, you know, our mindsets to the stigma and addiction. And I think we've made great leaps and bounds, you know, even just over the last decade. And so if you're not in recovery or if you're not in addiction and you know somebody that's struggling, please feel free to reach out to us for help. Reach out to the Reprieve, reach out to Bradford, the CRC. Don't be afraid to walk into a meeting yourself. They have open meetings that you can go and Al-Anon and learn about what you can do to help somebody that maybe is struggling. And so I guess the most important part, and I love kind of what we did today, is it's about continuing the education and continuing to strive to make a difference in people's lives. And so I know we're happy to be a part of it, and thank you for having us on.
Right on, and no doubt, as Ross would say.
No doubt.
All right, well, we are going to take a quick break. Thanks to our guests, and you are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and me on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone. And we have had a wonderful show, like we always do on a Sunday afternoon, closing out our topic of Recovery Month with our friends from The Reprieve, part of Bradford Health Services, Ross Tate, my brother, and his other program coordinator, Mike Denmark. And they have just made me feel very inspired and grateful. And I hope that you guys listening feel very inspired and grateful. And I just want to encourage you, if you know somebody, if you yourself is struggling with some of these issues, to check out a meeting to make that first step. If that isn't something that you feel comfortable doing, then maybe just calling the CRC and using our resources on campus. But, you know, we're so grateful for our resources. I can't say that enough. And of course, we're grateful for our listeners, because we wouldn't be on the radio show without you. Just a quick little preview of our show for next week. We will be shifting gears a little bit and talking about fitness facilities. So in the wake of COVID-19, we shut down for a while, we slowly opened, and now we have a few restrictions in our building, but also we are trying to make it a place that you guys can come and safely work out. So stay tuned with us for next week. We will be back with some UREC Pro staff and talking about our facilities. If you haven't stepped in the doors and you want to hear about it, that'll be your chance. Thank you guys once again for listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone, and have a wonderful day.